Ben the Man for Land Parsons is a man that I've met, and how long we known each other now? You've been here for a while now.
I have. Well, you know, I didn't know you before I had a real estate license, and I had a real estate license with a small family firm before I was involved with RE/MAX Property Pros, so I would say 6 years.
Is it that long already?
2020.
Wow. Time sure flies, that is for sure.
It does.
So in the 6 years that Ben the Man for Land Parsons has been with RE/MAX Property Pros and talking with us here on the radio, just a couple of things. We were kind of wondering what we're going to talk about today. Yeah. But generally speaking, over these last 6 years here in this market, Ben, what is it, when you look back on these last 6 years, what are some of the things that really come to mind for you?
You know, it's kind of funny that I am still a forester. But what got me into real estate was kind of frustration with working with my landowners and buying and selling, helping them buy and sell, or at least prepare it for the agent that they chose.
And then that agent took his commission. Right.
So I'm helping with maps and information on the property, and then of course the agent is the one that actually handles the offers and carries the transaction through to closing. And here I'm thinking, well, this is going to be easy. I'm going to go get a real estate license. And boy, was that an eye-opening experience.
I bet.
Not only is it a lot more intense and time-consuming than people realize. I mean, you know, as these realtors, guys, if you're a W-2 employee and you're punching the time clock, you don't get it. You get to enjoy your kids' soccer games, baseball games, football games without handling emergencies over the phone, either phone calls or text messages. That an emergency arises and that could railroad the whole transaction and cancel the whole thing, and you're trying to keep this thing together, right?
Right.
So they don't see the review of paperwork, 11 o'clock. Midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. They don't see the offers that are written during dinner time. They don't see the text messages that are coming in at 5 a.m. So folks really don't understand. I didn't understand before I had a real estate license. I didn't get it. And someone who gets to have their weekends, gets to have their evenings with family, I get it. You're kind of owned by the man, you know, 9 to 5 or 8 to 3 or whatever your hours are. I get it. We are flexible. I do work from the road a lot of times, but there's a trade-off there. You're always on call.
Mm-hmm.
Always on call. And paychecks sometimes can be few and far between.
Sure.
You know, last year I had 4 months where I was busy. I was showing properties. I was writing offers. I was putting listings up on the MLS and representing sellers. But when there's not a closing, there's not a paycheck. So you have to, as a realtor, you have to have that servant's heart, where you say, you know what, we're taking care of our clients, we're meeting the needs of our customers, and when the paycheck happens, it happens. So, and this is so much about who you know, less about what you know, which
okay.
has been another frustration.
Yeah.
Because I often am the guy that is selling the large parcels that other agents have listed for their friends or their family members. And I'm the guy that's out there beating the brush with my clients and customers.
Right.
Showing them what this really is. You can't go off of a handful of listing pictures.
Right.
You really can't.
Especially with vacant property, land in general.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's soil conditions. There's covenants and restrictions or none. There's agricultural restrictions or none. There's timber value. There's accessibility issues. There's so much that goes into, I say all the time, property or real estate is a lot like snowflakes. No two pieces are exactly alike. And when you're spending that much money on an investment, and yes, it is an investment, it's always a good time to buy. It's not always the best time to sell.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to sit on it and hang on to it a few more years before that investment pays off, just like any other investment.
And all that said, the reason I want to go into this line of questioning, one of the last times we had a conversation on the radio, on the telephone, was you're running out of listings.
Yeah.
And so a salesperson without something to sell is wondering where he's going to get grocery and gas money. And so with all that in mind, I'm sure you've got a plan for all that stuff. But just in general here, Ben, I know for me, anytime I was in a real estate relationship with somebody, an agent of in whatever city I was in at the time, I always knew that there's a lot that goes into this job that this person is doing for me, and he or she is not going to get paid until I buy something or something like that. So I've always been one that has always respected my realtor because I'm not going to make them run out for every little thing because, we need to have respect for our realtors. Bottom line, I think that everybody should have that respect for their realtor, knowing that, it's a lot of running. You sign up for it, though. I know about what you're going to say. It's what you sign up for. But still, a good relationship is where both sides respect each other.
It's like it's a contractor relationship. It's just like a contractor. Someone that's not being paid by the hour, that's being paid by the job. And but one of the things I kind of got a little sidetracked there where I was thinking about going, but we do appreciate that. But granted, we're in June now. I looked back through my expenses in May. I averaged $40 a day in gas.
Okay.
And does that mean I'm telling people no when my client says, hey, this just hit the market. I got to go look at it. It looks like it checks all the boxes. And a lot of times they even did a drive-by on their own and said, yeah, we drove by. We like the neighborhood. The neighbors look nice. The land, the amenity close by to amenities look nice. Can you get us in it? Can you tell us what can you tell us more about what we can see from the roadside? So it is what we sign up for. One of the way, and we do appreciate when folks do take our time in consideration, but it's just part of the job, Jeff. That's just what we do.
And when it comes to that, there's more to getting a listing. Also, I'm trying to build a picture here, Ben. When you say you're looking for listings, I'd like it if you could tell us. You've already told us all the different things that you do in your job before you even see a paycheck. So that tells me your heart's in the right place. You said you had a heart of a servant, and it sounds to me like that's kind that you got to have to do this job. But the next part is when it comes to really putting the rubber meets the road kind of thing, when it comes to getting a listing, you're willing to do all these things. What else are you willing to do to get a listing? Whether it's let's start with a piece of property with a home on it. What are you willing to do to get a listing from somebody?
Well, you have to build a relationship with a person. You have to listen. You have to know what their goals are, what their timelines are, what they want to walk away with. And honestly, you have to be straightforward with them about what's possible, which means you have to know the market. You have to know the product. You have to know what you're selling, the conditions that you're selling in, what it's actually worth. And then you listen to that client. What do they expect? And we don't want to just meet those expectations. We would like to exceed those expectations because it's not, I mean, sure, we want to provide good customer service, but we also want to provide a positive experience through the whole thing. A lot of folks hate dealing with real estate and realtors because they've had bad experiences in the past. Were their expectations met? Probably. In a lot of cases, probably, but it was such a confusing and frustrating experience. A lot of folks dread that, and that's another reason why. First of all, real estate being the biggest investment that most folks tend to do a couple times in their life, right? It's their biggest investment.
Yep.
It's their home, but typically folks really don't move more than a couple times in their lifetime. These are things that we help people walk through multiple times. All right, I've moved. Oh my gosh, I'm up to 8 moves now, and not all were.
I'm well into double digits.
Yeah,
so I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and that's not typical, but not just providing good customer service, but letting folks know what to expect, what can go sideways once we're entering this process, just so they're prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And so. Not everything is sunshine and rainbows,
right?
But here's based on my experience, where this can go sideways, and here's what you can expect. A lot of times folks have this dollar amount or this situation or experience in their mind, and when it doesn't go that way, they're disappointed. Mm-hmm. They get frustrated with their agent, and then the next time they need an agent to go with somebody else. I think I got a pretty good track record for repeat business.
Right.
Once folks end up taking the chance and using me, when it's time for the next move or when it's time to say, hey, we've got our house. Now we want our hunting property or our recreational property or our lakefront property. Guess where they're going back to?
The guy because that they... Yep.
Right. They had that good experience, and their expectations were not only met but exceeded. So
when it comes to getting Ben the Man for Land to go to work for somebody, they call you over and they say, you know what, I have no idea what this place is even worth. I'm sitting on this property here. It's been a long time. I've heard things in the, you know, in rumors and in different places, but I have no idea really what this thing is worth. So to get a listing, I would assume that the first thing you got to do is take a look at the property. Mm-hmm. You do your market analysis. Mm-hmm. After you do yours, do you encourage them to get other people out there to do the same thing, to get some comparisons, and then let your numbers stand on their own, and then they make their decision? Tell me that process.
I do, actually. And it's not just about the number. It's about building a relationship and a rapport with that person. Here's my numbers, and here's my strategy. I can count on one hand the number of times that this has happened, but I met with a customer, potential client. Here's my market analysis. Here's my strategy. Here's what you can expect when the dust settles. Here's what you're expecting to sell at and walk away with. And, of course, they had some other... I mean, you can't throw a rock in the Northwoods without hitting three or four realtors.
There's a lot of you out there.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of us for sure. And but they, you know, they knew other folks, and they wanted to check with them and see what their thought and their strategy was. And I remember this one particular time, I said, here's the number, you know, here's the sweet spot, and here's the number we should hit the market at. Here's what you can expect to walk away with. And they asked about a higher number. I didn't know this at the time. But I was probably the second or third agent that they had talked to.
Okay.
And there was an agent who actually got the listing, that put it on the market for about $100,000 more than what I had.
That's a big difference.
Huge difference. And so I asked them about their timeline. They had basically a 3-month timeline. That they, you know, life is changing for them. They're aging.
Right.
They didn't need this place on such a big lake anymore. Grandkids were further away. Great grandkids were starting to show up. So, you know, from the time we hit the market to the time we want this, the cash in our pocket and us moving, 3-month timeline. That listing sat on the market for almost a year.
Wow.
When it finally sold, you want to know what number it actually finally sold for?
I'm thinking it was closer to your number.
It was a little under.
Really?
A little bit under that. So when we hit that sweet spot, or even just a touch under it, a lot of folks see that as, hey, that's a fair price, or that's a great price. That looks like a deal. You get this swarm of people that are going to come and look at this property, and they say, hey, that's fair. So your first couple weeks on the market, you should be packed full of showings. You should see an offer or two. If you're priced right. If you're underpriced...
Because the market's out there, they still want property. The buyers are still there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're yep. out there, but buyers are not going to overpay. If it's listed too high, you know, you really are taking a chance. I compare real estate to fishing all the time. So if I put this big, giant bait on the end of my line,
yeah,
and I'm throwing this, you know, foot-long crankbait out there, I'm only after one species of fish. What is it?
You're looking for a big muskie.
And what do they call muskie? The fish of 10,000
casts?
So if you go putting this huge...
Unless you're Steve Hiding, then he gets 9 or 10 in the boat in a day.
Some folks just have the touch,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But if you go putting this big giant price or this big giant bait on your listing and you're throwing it out there, you're looking for that muskie. You're looking for that one person that is attached to that piece of property emotionally, physically, somehow this is a perfect fit, and they will not let anyone else let that property go. How often do you think that that happens? It's extremely rare.
I hope not that much.
Right, right. So if I'm over, you know, Nokomis, Mohawkson, Alice, whatever, if I go throwing, you know, what's probably the most common bait you're going to throw out there, and you're willing to catch a smallie or a walleye?
A bucktail.
Yeah. So I'm throwing a bucktail out here, and I'm looking for the structure, right? I know where the fish are. I know where the clients are. I know where the customers are. I know where the buyers are.
Yeah.
So let's put something on here that they are going to find appealing. Then you're catching fish. And guess what? You can still, how many times have you been fishing for walleye and you accidentally catch a muskie?
Oh, that happens a lot.
All the time.
Yep.
Real estate is the same way. You price it right for the market. You price it right for the buyers that are out there, that are in that, the buyer pool or the buyer lake. You price it right, you're going to be catching all kinds of buyers fish.
If I was better with math in my head, I'd have a number right now. But right now I'm thinking, okay, they're saying that they're going for this muskie. They're not fishing in musky waters. And so they finally get their bait down to a more walleye or bass-friendly kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, wow, look at the action I'm getting on this thing. What I'm thinking of, when you're out there on the water, all you're wasting is time. And if you're out there on the lake, it's not a waste of time to be out in the boat, if you ask me. But some people, time is more valuable than others. So all that time that went by from looking for that muskie until we got real and we were in the walleye and bass waters, and then the thing is gone just like that. What was wasted? What that was lost in that period of time? There was probably time. There was probably money. Yeah. I'm sure they're still paying taxes on that big property that nobody's using anymore. And so I think it's the number one thing that you tell me all the time, Ben. If the price is right, you're going to get action right away. If you ain't getting action, the price ain't right.
Right. You got to change your bait.
Got to change the bait. Boy, we sure brought this around full circle here, I think, right now, and just in time, too. And so the moral of the story is if you want listings, Ben the Man for Land is ready to go to work for you.
Absolutely.
What it's going to take to get the job done.
Yeah. Give me a call. Give me a text. Let's get some face-to-face time. Let me know what you expect and do my best to meet those exceed those.
Maybe out in the boat sometime. Have a conversation about real estate while you're out in the boat.
There you go.
Never know. How can people get a hold of you, Ben?
The best way to get a hold of me, Jeff, is a call or text to 715-550-5683. Or shoot an email to benthemanforland@gmail.com.
Boy, pretty good for a couple guys that didn't know what they were going to talk about when this thing started.
We figured it out.
Not too bad. Ben, thank you very much. Hope you have a good day, and I hope that phone starts ringing and get some listings.
Sounds good. Yeah, I need stuff to sell for sure.
Put Ben to work for you. He is ready to go to work for you right now today.